If you don't like Facebook, just leave. But here's an update. Leave and build your own social network. One programmer wrote a how-to. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Molly Wood. An estimated 61% of Americans use Facebook, according to Edison Research. It is really, really, really big. But that bigness is also its biggest problem. It's gathering data at a huge scale. There's all that misinformation everywhere. And maybe you don't really need all those people looking at pictures of your life. Facebook's solution is more private groups where people can share and feel comfortable, and messaging, like how people use Apple's iMessage group chats as a smaller sort of substitute social network. But what if you just built your own? Darius Kazemi is a programmer and artist. He recently published a guide to building your own small-scale social media network. He built one called Friend Camp that people support through the donation platform Patreon. I asked him why he thought people would want to dump all these existing services to program their own social networks.
Yeah, I think some of it comes to the privacy part, but people have tried to start services that are easier to use that are like, oh, we're like Facebook, but we're more private. And I think that's only going to reach a small number of people. I think what people actually want is the ability to talk to their friends on their own terms. And that's what I'm encouraging people to do using this new decentralized technology.
And so what is the ideal size, do you think, for a network for talking to a small group of friends on their own terms?
I mean, I would place it somewhere around 50 or 100 people on a kind of private group node. But, you know, I'm not talking about cutting people off from the rest of the world either. The idea with what I'm proposing and what I'm doing and other people are doing is creating a kind of layered space where you have your private space with messages that don't leave the computer that you control. But then you can also subscribe to other people outside and post to other people outside. Friend Camp, which is the server that I run for about 50 people, is, you know, we're 50 people, but we have access to, I think it's like 10,000 different servers, so other computers and communities out there, totaling a few 100,000 or maybe even a million accounts that we could be in contact with.
So who is this for? Who should do this?
You know, I think right now it's people who have safety concerns and really want to control where their information goes and who gets to see it. I think it's people who want to have a community with no targeted advertisements or algorithms that you don't control. Like, the thing is, I'm okay with algorithms and controlling your social media feed as long as you control the algorithm. But, you know, when you're on sites like Facebook and Twitter, you don't control it. The companies do. So the idea is for small communities that really want to have this level of control. And even if it's not like, oh, I personally have control over this sort of thing, it's my friend or this person who I know socially does have control. So I can go to them as opposed to having to try to get the attention of Mark Zuckerberg.
It sounds like you might be saying that maybe community doesn't need to be a business.
That is essentially exactly what I'm saying. I use the metaphor often of free public libraries as a kind of community mapping for this sort of thing. And to talk about the money side of thing, the way that I run Friend Camp is we just have a Patreon, but it's just a convenient way to collect monthly dues from people who are on Friend Camp. And people pay between $0 and $5 a month for their social media experience. And it doesn't cover my time as like a developer. You know, like if I were doing this for a job, I would want to be paid a lot more money for it. But because it's a service that I'm giving myself as much as anyone else, and the material costs of the hosting and the domain name and all that stuff are covered by the community.
And so what is the ultimate goal? Do you think it's to provide people with this alternative should they want it and have the skills to pull it off? Or do you hope that you will spark something bigger?
Yeah, the ultimate goal is I would like this to be an option for all sorts of people, not just people who know someone like me who is both kind of like technically and community savvy. So what I would like is for this kind of social media software to be available through, you know, for example, there's like WordPress. If you want a WordPress blog, there's like 100 companies you could go to that you can pay X dollars a month to, and they will host your WordPress blog for you. So I would like to see sort of the commoditization of the hosting of that sort of thing. My next goal is to run workshops. I already have a bunch lined up, and I basically want to tour the country and the world and teach people how to do this sort of thing and teach them how to teach other people. So it's really like a person-to-person kind of knowledge dissemination.
Mm-hmm. It's so interesting because I'm hearing you talk about this and I'm thinking, this is what the internet used to be like, right? There used to be bulletin boards and there used to be blogs. I mean, blogs were a version of decentralization. It was like, take control of your own media or your own, you know, information flow. How do you like, if the history of the universe is that it just gets subsumed into some company that comes along and makes it easier with advertising, like, how do you keep the library alive?
Right. And so I agree with you. I think that any sort of technological innovation that can be centralized will be centralized. Mm-hmm. And so I think the solution is to come up with features that can't be centralized. So for example, one best practice that I do for my social network site is when I bring a new user on, I sit down with them for 1 to 3 hours, either virtually through Skype or something, or in person if they happen to be in my geographic area. And I explain to them every single thing that they'd want to know. I answer their particular questions, and I even create custom features for them, like tweaks that might make their own lives a little bit easier. And that's the kind of thing that simply doesn't scale. And so if you get people used to and wanting that kind of non-scalable thing, then it's not, there's no economic incentive for a big company to offer that to people because it doesn't make money.
You know, I think there's this sense that like, if everybody's in one big community, you have visibility. And that right now, some of the competitors that have sprung up to Facebook or Twitter are small communities that seem to end up getting real toxic. And I wonder, like, how do you avoid, or can you, or do you even want to avoid creating a whole bunch of small communities that are their own echo chambers?
Right. Something I like to point to give an example, is I'm an Iranian American. And I can't stop people in my city from meeting in a basement somewhere and talking about how Iranian Americans should be stripped of our citizenship due to, you know, being terrorists or something like that. I think providing these private spaces, this allows people a space to imagine a better world. And to people who want me gone, maybe a better world looks like one without me in it. And I don't like that. But it also gives me the space to imagine my own better world with my people. And then we can take that out into the public and actually test these ideas.
Darius Kazemi is a programmer and artist. His how-to guide is at runyourown.social. Now, Kazemi is clear that you'll have to have some technical skills to pull this off, but also that's what the 10,000-word how-to guide is for. And now for some related links. I mean, look, I know Kazemi's tilting at windmills a little bit here, but his idea reminds me so much of the internet that I actually grew up with, which was like a motley collection of bulletin boards, and then came blogs, and you could put your own thing out there, and no gatekeepers can control information, and people would run their own email servers, so no big company could spy on them. And that's when we were just talking about AOL. And it's just kind of nice to think that that ethos is still alive and kicking. Also, I am going to point you back to some more research from our friends at Edison Research from March that showed that people are leaving Facebook by the millions, even if they're not leaving social media specifically. So hey, maybe they really do want an alternative that could be like a site created by you, helpful friend with programming skills. I'm just in the mood for a little idealism right now, you guys. You understand. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know.
Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.